Life Audio.
This is Empowering Homeschool Conversations.
We want families to come here and gain insightful strategies that empower them to successfully teach diverse learners at home.
Hosted by founder and CEO of Sped Homeschool, Peggy Ployer.
Our goal is that these powerful weekly conversations will boost your confidence to cultivate the best at-home learning environment for your student.
For more homeschool resources, go to spedhomeschool.com. You're listening to Empowering Homeschool Conversations with Peggy Ployer. We'll start the conversation with Peggy and her guests next.
Well, good day to you. It's Joel with the King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
This is Empowering Homeschool Conversations, provided by Sped Homeschool, a nonprofit that empowers families to home educate diverse learners. To learn more, visit spedhomeschool.com. Here's Peggy Ployer.
Today, we're going to talk about future-ready learning, nurturing tomorrow's tech talent. And my special guest today is Hannah Williams. This is part two of a two-part conversation that we're talking about AI and powering your students' learning with AI and also their future with AI. And so I'm going to give you a little bit of background on Hannah. If you weren't with us in the first hour, I do recommend that you go back and listen, though. Hannah is a founder of DeSkills, a VC-backed startup shifting students from test prep to life prep. It's a hub where motivated teens learn new digital skills and convert them into real-world projects, helping them to leave high school with more experience and connections than most college graduates. The vision is to equip 1 million high schoolers with impact portfolios, so they're set to forge their own paths in life. Hannah's also the author of the top-selling book, A Leader's Guide to Unlocking Gen Z, a TEDx speaker, and a top 10% charting podcast host. So welcome again to the show, Hannah. I'm glad to have you back for another hour. We barely scratched the surface last hour, so I'm super excited we set up another hour to talk.
This is going to be so much fun.
yes. So nurturing tomorrow's tech talent. Did you ever see yourself, like when you were younger, and that's what I want to be. I want to be in tech. and then how did that, you know, get sparked in your own life as far as moving from, I guess, a traditional view of what your future would look like to where it is now?
So for those of you who listened to our last episode, I shared my story of my 12-year-old blue pickup truck experience.
Yeah.
My parents are entrepreneurs. And I would say, Peggy, that was my first spark of knowing that I wanted to be some sort of business owner. I had no clue, though, what that meant. And just thinking back to my homeschooling journey, my parents were really, really great at just preparing me for whatever I had in my future. I actually credit most of every bit of, you know, success and the doors that have opened to speech and debate. So students who are involved in speech and debate and parents who are involving your kids in speech and debate, applause, because I can tell you after working with, you know, hundreds and hundreds of companies and leaders, they all ask me, where did these particular skill sets come from? You know, research, communication, public speaking, right? And I point it all back to speech and debate. But I had no clue or context during high school or college for what types of careers even really existed. And right. I think that's one of the fundamental challenges that, you know, especially homeschoolers face is, you know, we're all basing our careers and sort of career choices around what we might hear from books we read, now, of course, YouTube, but right. finding what to search for is, it can be like just a myriad of things that hit you and you don't really know what goes into different careers. And, you right. know, I actually thought I wanted to be in supply chain management. I didn't know what it even meant. I just thought it sounded like a fancy string of words and thought it was logistics were cool. I remember when trying to choose my college degree, I was sitting at an Indian restaurant with my dad because, you know, he's been an entrepreneur, had his business degree, and we were chilling. You know, I had tandoori chicken and rice pudding. And I was sitting at the buffet and I remember asking my dad, well, this degree looks really interesting. It was something like humanities anthropology of psych or something just so bizarre that had no right. context. My dad heard it and said, Hannah, why don't you just get a business degree? Because, you know, as soon as college is out of the way, you can do whatever you want to do. And I'm really grateful that my parents had that advice, because had I been, you know, had I decided to put money or effort or whatever into a degree that wasn't recognizable or whatnot, in my high school brain, I thought, this is the end all be all, right? College is like a destination, not a stepping stool. And I know so many students feel that way. When you're in high school, it's hard not to feel that way. Mm-hmm. So to come back to your question, my journey, I guess I just sort of was playing around the jungle gym a little bit. And as doors opened and I began to discover skills that I had, and as I began to talk with phenomenal leaders who were in my life early, who asked some pretty dumb questions too, because I had no idea what I was doing. And eventually I realized, wow, there's so much more in the world, so many more career options, choices, pathways than I ever could have imagined. And this was pre-AI. And now with AI, everything is shifting. Once again, the world is opening up even more. We talked about quickly, you know, last time that the average Gen Zer or someone now between the ages of 13 and 28-ish will have 7 to 10 different careers in our lifetime, not jobs, careers, right? So the landscape is shifting so incredibly quickly. And if I could go back to my high school self and just thinking about the sparks that have led me to starting to skills and helping students build that real world context earlier, if I had had an opportunity to get that context earlier, then oh my gosh, I would have been set to go off to the races. But instead, I had to do a lot of just sort of fooling myself and just parsing my way through the dark.
And it's a mind shift as a parent of somebody your age, because you know my husband's mentality of, just get your degree, get a job. You know, we have not been fooled like our parents were, that we would stay at a job for our career. You know, that company loyalty is gone. When my dad worked for a company for his entire life, you know, and so you just see the generations, and we as a parent had to say, no, this is not. The reality we experienced in our own lives is not the reality our kids are going to experience. And I remember having to coach my husband through that because he's in tech, you know, you would think, but it's what's ingrained in you. This is, you know, you get a degree. It's, you know, that's you're set for life, but it doesn't happen anymore. I mean, we see the statistics now of, you get a degree and you go work at Walmart, and then you're paying off college debt. And so something has shifted, but has our mind shifted yet about how we prepare those students? before they get to that point. And that's what this conversation is really going to be about, is how can we make that shift? What's available? How do we use that? And how do we as parents prepare those kids? Because we're teaching them at home.
Yes, you're so right. It's a complete mindset shift. And in fact, I was, you see me looking to the side here. I'm trying to find a graph that I would love to share with you, because this is so compelling. This is, so I decided to run some numbers the other day of what the average cost of a degree was in 1970 versus the starting salary and what it is now. Wow. Now, I don't think this will be shocking to anyone, but I do want to share this, because when you hear my generation and our kids, there's about 65% of Gen Z, so your middle and high schoolers right now, who are open to non-college pathways. And you can imagine the conflict that's happening with conversations between students and parents who have these two different mentalities, right? But if you look at the data, Gen Z is really, really kind of spot on, nail on the head when it comes to this for most degrees. We're not talking, you know, doctors, engineers, surgeons. Right. We're talking your business degrees, your humanities, all of those typical spaces. This data is incredibly compelling. So let me see if I can share my screen. It may just be in the same. Oh, here we go. Let's see if this shows. Yep. Okay. This is the data. So look at 1970. So your average, the average cost of a bachelor's degree in 1970 was roughly $50,000. Your average starting salary was roughly $70,000. This is all inflation adjusted. Look at those numbers. Wow. So now you have the average cost of a college degree is peaking over $120,000. And the average salary is roughly the same, if not slightly less than it was in 1970. And that's why Gen Z, and for anyone who's listening and can't see the visuals, the end average bachelor starting salary is right over $60,000 in 2020. That was as of 2020.
Right.
So this is the type of world that our students are growing up in and having to navigate, right? Having to figure out what changes do we make to our approaches, to careers, to life, to skills we need to build in a world where a college degree is becoming increasingly irrelevant. And I'm talking about it not just from a cost standpoint, but from the standpoint of employers who are shifting drastically away from degree-based hiring and towards skill-based hiring. Like all these momentous forces that are taking place mean that as parents, we should be pausing for a second and asking the question, in a future where these things are true, where AI powers the world, where the cost of a degree is going out the roof compared to the return, where our students have access to every bit of knowledge at their fingertips, how do we prepare them to be fulfilling, relevant, and happy adults in our future?
After a word from our sponsor, we'll dive back into this conversation.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now, 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
This is Empowering Homeschool Conversations, provided by Sped Homeschool. Go to spedhomeschool.com to get resources and support for teaching your unique learner at home.
Yeah, I did an interview a couple months ago with a parent who just decided that she wanted to work with her son, who really has a difficult time with learning anyways, and was struggling with that. You know, young adult, what do I do with my life, or how do I even move forward? Kind of building the skills based off of just what, you know, was on LinkedIn for different, like he was going into videography or something. And she built a curriculum based on what was free and available, or, you know, just on the internet, to build those skills that the resume already, you know, would require to get a job. And I thought that was really wise, because it's a totally different approach than, and I think a lot more parents are starting to embrace that, especially in our community, because we have kids that don't fit in that mold where it's easy to say, okay, you got this great, you know, result on your SAT test. And, you know, I think it's so much easier to get fooled into the system working when your kids fit in the system. But for our community, they don't. And so we tend to be a little more open. So super excited about what you have to share, because a lot of the kids in our community too are extremely creative. They think outside the box. They're willing to change, like we talked about in the previous hour, more so than those students who do really good at test taking, you know, so and good. Expect that test taking is going to take them somewhere wonderful, maybe to be a professor, I think.
Exactly. College is really it's really an MLM if you think about it. It's a pyramid scheme, but
anyway, really is.
I do want to share one inspirational story because of the nature of this community, and it'll help frame up some of what we're going to talk about with preparing students for the future. Mm-hmm. So one of my, I call him my Obi-Wan. He's my mentor, my guide. And his name is Chris Lockhead. Now, Chris is just an amazing human. He is super successful in the way that, you know, the world views success of he was a chief marketing officer in Silicon Valley for multiple companies that sold for billions of dollars. He's written written a bunch of books. He hosts his own podcast, Top 0.5%, you know, just all the things, right? So Chris and I were having a conversation the other day. And he shared with me, and we've talked about this in different ways over the past couple years that we've known each other. Chris, and I won't say what he calls himself because he uses a lot of very colorful language, but he is dyslexic. He has ADHD. He has pretty much every learning difference you could possibly imagine. And he was kicked out of school. Here's a guy who the system said was basically screwed. Like, he couldn't do anything, right? He was told you will never write anything. You'll never be someone, right? And of course, it's the type of messaging he got was the reason that so many parents who have students like him pull them out of public education, which is, again, I so support. But Chris's story is just fascinating because he had a single mom. His mom didn't have the option to homeschool him. So he floundered his way through, you know, getting kicked out of high school to eventually starting his own company, eventually selling that company, eventually taking on all these roles. But what I find so oxymoronic is that Chris has written 14 number one best-selling books when he was told he could never write.
Right.
He has, as of this year, Adobe ranked one of his books in the top five marketing books of all time. That is, and this is coming from someone who's severely dyslexic, who can't write an email to save his life. I have to chase him down to get a response to text. He's so bad at it. And yet he's one of the most legendary humans I've ever come across. So I say all this to say, these qualities that we're talking about that I call the skills, they're actually the skills you need to succeed, have so little to do with what the world typically says is a successful person. And so
that academic, it's like this academic piece, you know, we've elevated it so high that we forget that there's just so much more involved into somebody being successful and actually, using the skills that they do have. Cause we only elevate that certain little set, like math, reading, writing,
which are all the great. Yeah, it's like the whole idea of success is truly so much more about leveraging your strengths, taking what you are good at, what you're interested in, and turning that into a successful pathway for you, however you define success. So if that's writing 14 number one bestsellers because someone told you you couldn't write, maybe that's one way, or maybe it's you can have the permission to ditch the things that, you know, academia says is meant to be successful and instead leverage that creative brain that God has given you to turn that into something that takes you on a completely different path that you've self-forged. Yeah. And I'm just every day that I, you know, I'm pretty neurotypical, but I have siblings who are not. And I have pretty much everybody on my team is neurodiverse. And I just, there's so much from each of them that I learn every single day and that we help empower students to unlock within themselves to then do whatever they see as, you know, being fun and enjoyable. And also, of course, helping them prepare themselves for their future.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so important. So, you know, what are, as far as if you've seen, what are the key skills and competencies that are really important? Because we talked about the ones that weren't important. but what really is important as parents focus on things and, you know, because maybe they're saying, okay, I want my child to be future ready, but then what am I aiming for? What, you know, if it isn't like finishing this math book or, you know, finish, you know, we have to do a lot of that legally to fit state standards, but what is my end goal versus just getting through the curriculum?
Great question. So we talked about on episode one, or not just talked, we showed, if you watched episode one, you saw just how powerful AI tech is, right? It generated a meal plan in 60 seconds based on what's in your fridge. It can write essays in a matter of minutes through a guided approach. It can do so much. And we didn't even scratch the surface on its capabilities. So if you as a parent think about the future, think about what's possible right now with this tech. And I promise, Peggy, we're going to go on a little bit of a rabbit trail. I promise this will come back.
No, that's good. Yep.
So you think about how powerful technology is and how it's evolving and how, you know, for years, I always thought, or we were sort of told from media and literature that the jobs that would be first taken by robots would be blue collar jobs, right? Your factory workers, whatever. That's sort of the vision we had. And instead, what did it come after? The most creative jobs. It came after writing, you know, musicians, like all of these things that I personally, if you'd asked me 5 years ago, if the levels of capability that AI has now were possible even within my lifetime, I would have said no. And yet we're living in a reality right now where this technology is changing so quickly. And we touched briefly on this last time, but just to reinforce this point, AI is expected to grow in capabilities by 8 to 10 times per year.
Wow.
So if you just think about that exponential increase in capabilities, I would not be shocked at all if by the time, if you've got like a middle schooler right now, by the time they enter the workforce, if we're actually going to have a workforce that not only doesn't look like it does today, but actively turns the whole concept of how a company is structured on its head. So I'll put it this way. I was actually chatting with AI the other day, asking it, you know, could you envision a future where, you know, AI is replacing a lot of different human jobs and it's delegating tasks to humans and other AIs? What would that look like? And it gave me a term called the swarm organization, which I'm pretty sure it made up because I can't find this anywhere. But imagine that that a company in the future, instead of it being your, you know, typical bureaucratic structure with, you know, the CEO and then you've got
tiers and
right? That's really what college is training current employees for, right? You start at the bottom, you work your way up. It is completely dismantling that and going to function more like a beehive. So think about the bees as both humans and AI agents. In other words, imagine that there's some set of AI, and I know we're getting really complex here, but just sort of creating this visual of like, this is what organizations could very, very likely look like in the future, where you've got a central like computer or an AI that's telling both humans and other AIs that have different capabilities what to do. They're like delegating to robots and humans, but it's all happening in a computer system. Well, what does that mean for our students? Well, instead of them having to learn things even like, you know, fact memorization, learning knowledge, instead of them having to learn knowledge and implement knowledge, what it's going to take is that our kids become creator capitalists. They need to be kids, students who can find what we call impact gaps, find places that need solutions, then implement solutions. And I don't care if your student has their own company, or if they work for a really big company, or if they work for a small company, whatever they're going to be doing, if that student is able to identify impact gaps where maybe AI could be integrated to help solve something, or where a new tech could be implemented, or where a marketing problem is there, or whatever the problem is, if your student has the eye to look for those impact gaps, they're going to be the most employable people in the future. That, so when we talk about skills that are the most necessary, what I've seen, and again, I have this the picture from both sides, like being a student, being a homeschooler, and then also being in corporate for 7 years and understanding what's happening on the other side. When companies, and of course, just what it takes to be like a fulfilling, fulfilled leader in the future, in a world where AI exists, the skills that, that humans will need are the skills that make us the most human. Skills like communication with other humans, skills like tenacity, resilience, critical thinking, right? I think those are some of the most important skills, along with, and imagine this, because this is kind of bizarre, you might in your future, if you've got elementary, middle school, or even high schooler, they might enter the workforce as a an AI manager, meaning that they're not managing humans, they're managing AIs. So this is just completely, you know, if we think about those competencies, those skills, the tenacity, the resilience, the critical thinking, add on to that, the ability to work with teams that involve AI and humans, right? And also the ability to find and solve impact gaps. I would say those are the, if I can narrow it down to, you know, probably the top five, you know, maybe add in there as well, just the ability to adapt to change. I mean, those, those are the types of skills. You'll notice one thing I didn't say is I didn't say in that top five or six list, I did not say anything about a specific technical skill.
Because tech changes and there's no way you can keep up. And I think, you know, coming from when I was in college, I was an engineering major, and I was programming Fortran. I don't think anybody uses Fortran anymore. Pretty certain of that.
What have you not done, Peggy? You went to school for engineering, now run two businesses.
I have a degree in physics. But yeah. So yeah, I have a very, very, yes, milking cows. I actually was a cheese blogger. I'm probably one of the most interesting people you will ever meet. But
I want to learn more now.
So, I mean, it just changes and we have to change ourselves. And as you can see, I embrace that. but I know a lot of parents are like, this is probably making their head swim, is like, how do I keep up? You know, if the world is changing so fast, you know, yes, those skills are great. And, you know, we're talking about some tools. Is there any way for a parent to kind of stay on kind of the in of knowing what their students could be learning?
Yes. So there's a couple of ways that I'll answer this. And the reason for this is, number one, I believe there are so many ways parents can help their students on their own. But I'll give the disclaimer here that we're in not just a rapidly changing world, but one where, like we talked about the shift from the knowledge worker to a creator capitalist. What this fundamental shift means is that students can now learn so much more from their peers. Yeah. Through a process of self-discovery and what we call impact-first learning, where they start with an audacious goal and work backwards, then they even can from this, the sort of traditional idea of a teacher comes up with a lesson plan that the students then do.
Right.
So as someone who will be a parent in the future, and as someone who gets to sort of coach my mom on these things for all my siblings, the best advice I can give is, if you're thinking about how to prepare your kids for this future, the best possible thing you could do for them is step out of the way and let them create their own plan for how to learn what they want to learn.
Yeah.
We're entering a world right now where, imagine if your student starts in that swarm organization in the future, right? They're 22, 23, whatever age they end up being. It's going to be so critically important that that student has the skill to, instead of being like a fetch a stick employee, as I call it, like where someone has to give them things to do, where they can self-create their own opportunities, their own solutions. And a way you can start instilling that, which is of course going to have a ripple effect, is saying, hey, you know, let's brainstorm together, me as your mentor, not as your teacher, me as your mentor.
Right.
Let's think through, what do you want to learn? What do you, what impact do you want to make? What, you know, what skill do you want to get really good at? And then instead of saying, all right, I'll go and, you know, spend the summer planning this whole thing, this whole lesson plan for you, instead have the student use AI to come up with their own plan for reaching that goal.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
I'll give you an example, because this was so, so powerful. We had two students in a sprint last summer who the context of the sprint was build a business using GPT in 30 days. Now, we had about, it was about 150 kids who registered, they were sprinting, and we had three top prizes. The two girls who I knew from the beginning were just, oh my gosh, you could tell, like, they were curious, they were interested. One was homeschooled, the other was not. They lived in two different states, so Kansas and South Carolina. So two different time zones. One was 14, the other was 17. These two young ladies, Anna and Rory, decided to set an audacious goal for themselves. They were going to code a Chrome extension that served as a like productivity timer for other students. And they were going to launch it with social media accounts plus videos to support their social media. And they were going to do it in 30 days.
Wow.
The catch here is that neither of them had ever coded before.
Hmm.
Ever. So you can imagine these two young ladies, never coded before, had some like design sort of skills, never done social media before. Mm. They had consumed social media. They had never created social posts.
Huh.
By the end of 30 days, we had the showcase. These two young ladies produced not just a fully functioning Chrome extension, but an active Instagram following of almost 500 people. Plus, they had reached out and done social media collaborations, produced 20 reels, were building users for their project, for this Chrome extension, and ultimately ended up winning this competition. Huh. Now, I say this to say, Aurora and I, so Rory, were on a call a couple days later, and I was asking her about what she learned through the process. And she looked at me and she said, "Hannah, I have tried to learn how to code in Python for years. I got, you know, coding for dummies, whatever, just tried to start at page one, like a textbook, right? It teaches you hello world. And then, you know,
yeah,
you have to sort of build from there." She said, "I could never get past the first couple of steps because it was just boring. And it was just like a textbook. But when I challenged myself to reach a finished goal and work backwards and fill in my knowledge gaps, I set an impact for myself, worked backwards, I was able to achieve something that I never, ever thought I could do. Not even after college. You know, this was college level coding. But with the power of GPT, which codes for you, if you just give it some prompting, you give it a structure, if you do that, she and Anna together, just in talking through their learnings, were just sharing things we never, ever would have thought we could do. We were able to achieve in a very short sprint beyond our, you know, our parents' beliefs, beyond our own beliefs. And this is the confidence we've built in ourselves.
Yeah.
So I share this long story longer, just to say that if you as a parent are thinking about how to help your kids develop these skills or just the first place to start, ask them the question, what do you want to learn?
Right.
Then ask them to develop their own plan to get there.
Yeah.
That will be the most powerful thing you can do.
That's awesome. I did that with my son way back when. It's now 25, but when he hit middle of high school, we just had this tension between us. And I said, "I give up. You tell me what you want to learn." I mean, I know a lot of parents out there are panicking if you haven't heard the story from me yet, but because there are state requirements too. And I put it back on him and I said, "So this is the subjects that are required in the state of Texas where we homeschool. You have to build those in. You know, put that on them as well." And my son was extremely creative. He created a podcast. He built his own computer. He was doing his English requirement by grading English papers for foreign students that he was friends with on the internet.
Oh, that's awesome.
So when we were in Russia, he was like, I'm going out with a friend. I'm like, who do you know in Moscow? I don't know anybody in Moscow. But you know, just those, and it allowed him to build his schooling the way that meant most to him because he saw the impact. He had the social engagement, which he is so all about. And yet he learned the skills that he needed and required, filled the state requirements. So I totally support what you're saying, Hannah, because it kept him in high school. Otherwise he would have dropped out. And we finished.
So good.
Yes. And so, yes, but it does, it puts it back in their court and it's their future too. And it may not look on a transcript like anything that's going to get them into college. And we had that discussion too. You know, I'm approaching things from the parent side about what you're saying. Cause I think a lot of people are, yes, we had that talk as well. These are not things that a college would say was an acceptable high school. You know, and we probably could have reframed them and, you know, give them different names. But he was like, "I'm totally okay with that. I'm not going to college." And I was like, "Okay, then this is what the transcript will say."
I want to add one thing to that though, because I love what you and your son did. It's amazing. And he would have graduated. He graduated 18, 19.
Yeah.
So like five years ago, right? Five, six years ago.
So 7 years ago. Yeah.
So in the span of 7 years, and this is for the parents who are saying, I want my kid to go to college. My kid wants to go to college. Mm-hmm. Does the same approach work? And I would say to this, 1000% yes. And here's why. In the past 7 years, colleges have been going all over the place about, do we require SATs? Do we not? Yes, we do. No, we don't.
Exactly. Just right. Mm-hmm.
I just heard as of this year, and other universities are about to follow suit. But in Korea, which is one of the most, like the most prestigious, hard to get into universities, right? All the, the South Korean universities that are incredibly stringent about their requirements and their grades and all of that. Guess what they did this year?
What? I want to know. Because my daughter is applying for colleges right now.
This was mind-blowing to most of the parents that I've spoken with. They just changed their requirements and assigned 30% of the application to real-world projects and internships.
Wow.
Not SATs, not ACTs, real-world projects like we help students with at DeSkills and internships. Right. In other words, the colleges are saying, in a world where AI is here, it's no longer enough for our students to be good at testing into whatever classes. They need to be real world ready. They need to show that what they've done, that they've self-created, that they're passionate about actually matters in real life. And to me, I find
and that tenacity that you were talking about. I mean, that it takes... Exactly. You don't finish a project unless you have the persistence and the tenacity, because it's hard. You run into roadblocks you never planned for. And if kids are just fed things all of their high school career and then they hit the ground, they're going to hit the ground. Yes. And yes, it's really hard.
Well, and in fact, it's like we're now in this world where I'm so grateful that colleges are beginning, their ears are beginning to perk up and realize that something's got to shift, even if they're also banning AI. But I think the hope here is, you know, to parents and students, whatever your student's pathway ends up being, whether that's apprenticeships and skilled trades, starting their own business, going to college right after high school, taking a gap year, whatever the path is, but the future's telling us is the actual skills that your kids will need are things they're probably going to enjoy more than academia as it purely stands. You know, these things that kids are passionate about that they can turn into projects with the right context and framework. That's the thing they're going to need for their future, whatever path they end up taking. And, you know, we have students in our sprints and Impact 10 and Bot Sprint and all of these where, you know, they're coming from all different backgrounds. Some are in like career and technical education pathways. Others are trying to get college ready. They're using these projects to stand out on those applications. Some of them want the launch pad to starting their own businesses, sort of dipping their toes in, having a framework. And that's the beauty of this type of impact first learning is it doesn't matter what path you take, it's going to set you up for success because all those paths are converging in a future where AI powers the world. Like we said, 7 to 10 different careers you're going to have. So you're going to be playing on a jungle gym and you've got to have all these skills for your future.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So you dove into a little bit about internships and that collaboration between businesses and students. I know you do a lot with that. How have you seen that work successfully? So like if a parent was going to say, you know, I have a friend who has a business and my child, you know, is, you know, using AI and they want to be able to help you. How would you even like start that partnership or, you know, I don't even know.
This is a great question. So first of all, that is what we guide kids through in Impact 10, is exactly how to build that confidence to find businesses and to leverage these skills. We actually have a free workshop that we host every single month on how to create your own internship in high school. So anyone who's listening is more than welcome to attend that. It's at deskills.io/workshop. Okay. So first of all, I would say, like, we talk about the whole framework in that session. But to give you the gist of it, I would say that the best thing you could do is, again, turn this over to your student. So if you're a business owner, Peggy, I am too. Like, are you going to be impressed if a parent reaches out to you and says, "Hey, I'm trying to create an internship experience for my child," and right. you don't know, you've never met the student? Which is more impressive, that a parent reaching out trying to create an internship, or a student reaching out and saying, "Hey, Peggy, I looked at your website and I identified these three impact gaps. You know, if you're trying to reach the next wave of Gen Z homeschoolers, do you have a TikTok page? I could set that up for you. You know, here's two other ways that I could help you. I could add an AI chatbot to your website, so any visitors coming can chat with your bot and, you know, answer questions about homeschooling. I could build an AI that's trained on all of your podcasts, so your listeners can go back and chat with the AI, and it'll be like they're chatting with you about all of your podcasts you've hosted for years. So if a student approaches you and gives you those impact gaps and says, "Hey, I'm 15. I live a few miles away, from your business address. Love what you're doing. Here's how I could help you." Which one are you more likely to work with as a business owner?
Well, the student specifically, yeah, because you just don't know if the parent's reaching out how committed the student actually is. So absolutely.
So that's what students are building the confidence to do in Impact 10, which is the 10-week sprint, is they're joining other students from around the globe, homeschoolers, there's, charter schools, private schools. It's just, they're getting all of that context from kids in other countries, kids in other states, and as peers sprinting through, not relying on parents or teachers to create opportunities. You are learning to create them for yourselves and even stumble and fall. So the best thing I could say is, like, obviously students who are that curious and interested are parts of our sprints. But if you want to do this at home and you want your kid to have this sort of experience at home, you could 100% do it. If your child can muster up their own, like, motivation to find small businesses and, like, basically build out these impact gaps in the framework and all of that, then, oh my gosh, go for it. Because that's one of the most powerful things your student could have on their applications for college or internships, or even just to have, like, a fun project to do for your homeschooling. Oh my gosh, imagine your student reaching out to businesses that are, mom owned, other homeschool moms they find on Facebook, and offering them services for web design or social media or whatever it is. Your student is going to learn so much by tripping and falling and sending out emails and getting ghosted. And, just so many skills are built into that one type of experience.
Oh, that's awesome. Yes. And the more it can take off of mom's hands and put into their hands, they do have to take ownership. And when they hit that age, we prepare them with a lot of things. And a lot of that is just, like you said, it's those communication skills and things like that we need to be working on, I think, much younger than we've focused on in the past, because we're always just working on the reading, writing, and a lot of kids just, we as parents talk for them way too much.
I get it. It's such a temptation. And obviously moms and parents are not alone. The same problem exists in larger schools. The same problem exists where, and this is a mindset, just thinking about mentalities again, as we were talking about in our first conversation, of this whole idea that somehow we as adults should be creating opportunities for our communities, for our students, or whatever it is, is a pre-AI mentality.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. Right? Because now, funny story. So I have a good friend. She's the CEO of the co-founder of a company called Daily Human. We were talking a few months ago, and she shared with me she had just attended a panel with a couple of very, very, you know, successful, wealthy business owners. And one of them is in his 70s, and he's usually fairly calm, but this was right after GPT had come out. He got up almost like on top of the table in this forum and looked at everyone and said, "You're going to tell me that these, you know, college students can take my 50 years of experience and they can use an AI and just basically do what I've done?" The whole room looked at him and they're kind of like, yes. I mean, that's like the power. We're talking about the shift from the knowledge worker to the creator capitalist.
Right.
Where we're in a world now where you can, as early as 14, 15, 16 years old, accumulate enough. If you really care about it and you're speaking with the AI and you're chatting with it, you could accumulate the almost equivalent industry knowledge of someone who's worked decades in a field. Obviously, it takes the dedication, the critical thinking, and all of that. But the point here is your student can learn whatever they want to learn with the right framework. If they've got a friend to do it with, makes it more fun. If they've got a framework of, you know, peers, a community, of a short sprint that they're trying to get it done in, they can learn whatever they want to learn. And that was not the case a few decades ago, or even 5-10 years ago.
Right. Yes. And it's that social component, I think, that you just brought in is something that past generations had moved away from because it was such a knowledge base and it was so individualistic of a knowledge base. And it's like, I've got to build my knowledge and then, you know, then I can, you know, it's so very different. I mean, like, us talking just now, you know, the podcast, the YouTube videos, it's like my husband, when he wants to fix the car, he just pulls up a video and he, oh, that's how I do it. You know, change the brakes. I was kind of scared for a while to drive the vehicle, but it worked. So, yes, information is so much at our hands. And I wrote a blog a while ago just about how our kids now need to be discerning of knowledge more so than knowledge based because there's just so much coming at them. But yes, it's really a dramatic shift. And like you said, I think the key important, what you just said just a little while ago was that our teaching approach needs to mirror the approach that, because it is an old mentality that we're using to teach. And if we really want to help our students, we have to change that first. That's where, because we model and they copy. And so what advice would you have for a parent who's like, okay, I'm realizing I need to change. How do I start changing so that I can start modeling this and we can start changing our approach?
I would say the very, very first thing to do is shift the language you use to describe yourself. If you're using the word teacher or educator to talk about how you educate your children or you're a home educator, shift it to I'm a mentor or I'm a co-host or something that gives you the visual picture that there's no longer the dynamic of teacher and student.
Right.
The dynamic is co-partners. The dynamic is you're learning alongside your child on this pathway to a different future. I know a lot of parents have that mindset already, which is what makes homeschooling so unique. And this is not the case in most traditional school environments.
Right.
But I would say that just that one mental shift and communicating that with your children, you know, that we're embarking on a world where no one knows where this technology is taking us. And this technology is not just AI specifically is not just something that's going to impact us in small ways. I may be a broken record at this point, but saying it's influencing and changing every way we work, think, and play.
Right.
So if you can have that conversation with your child of, I have no idea what the future holds. We'll be in have swarm organizations. Maybe we'll have a robot assistant in our house in 10 years. Maybe we'll have, maybe you won't even have to work in the traditional sense in the future. You'll be working 2 days a week and producing the same results. We don't know what that future holds. Hmm. So if you take that approach of, I'm a mentor, my job is to guide, facilitate my students' learning, but they are in charge of their learning and their future because they're the ones who are going to have to experience the future and deal with it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That approach is going to, I promise, change every way that you think about education.
Yeah. Yeah.
The second thing I would suggest is go watch a documentary called School in the Cloud. I won't give too much away. There's actually two documentaries I'll recommend, but School in the Cloud and Most Likely to Succeed. These two documentaries will change everything you think about education and what's important for the future. And just in a nutshell, say what you'll walk away with from School in the Cloud is that students can learn anything with some encouragement, questions, and provocative it's really a provocative question is the whole basis of how education works best instead of teacher to student instruction. And with Most Likely to Succeed, you'll observe a school where they eliminated grades. They eliminated grades and focused on peer-to-peer review, showcases, and ultimately having teachers not segment any subjects, but learn them all in the same way. You might have a project that involves everything from engineering to math to science to research to history. And these students coming out of the school are still scoring above average on standardized tests, even though they never, ever prepare for the tests. So I'd say, watch those documentaries, be inspired, because as a homeschooling parent, you're going to get it so much better than most parents with kids in public schools.
Right.
And I'll say one other thing, which is the third piece. If I were in your shoes, I would start asking, how can I use AI to help with every aspect of my life, even if I thought it was impossible? I discovered you can make meal plans based off pictures in your fridge because I was doing meal planning that takes me multiple hours a week. And I paused before doing it and asked the question, how could AI make this simpler? And if you pause before doing anything in your life, whether it's, it could even be things like cleaning the house because you have AI develop a system for you so you can more efficiently clean your house in a way that makes sense on a schedule, whatever it is. It could be things as simple as organizing your kids' activity schedule. It could be how do you replace yourself, having your kids work with AI as a private tutor instead of you sitting down with them. It could be I could go on and on and on, just how many things, but if you just pause to ask that one question, how could I or my student use AI to accomplish this task more efficiently or better, or, whatever wording helps you, that I promise will change how your students view this tech and will make them more future ready. And it will also change your life. It might even reduce stress and anxiety if you let it.
Yeah. I think that's good because oftentimes the question, we dismiss it before it comes even because we were like, oh no, can't do that. And then we're just stuck with those tasks still before we even say, well, what if, let's follow that what if trail. And I mean, you aren't going to be disappointed if it doesn't because you didn't expect it in the first place. So why not try? but what if and that could alleviate and free up so much more time for other things that are more important. I think we forget that the simplistic tasks that we're replacing, those, if a computer can do it, then your brain can do so much more. And the same for our kids too. We tend to label them on what they can't do. And I think this is opening a door if you can't do that, then let the computer do this. And then what can you do? Can we then pursue that instead? Because it's not fun to have a label and be told what you can't do. But I think this technology is opening doors for just, you know, when you were talking about in our previous hour about how your sister uses this for writing. And yet now it's opening new doors for her that she thought were closed. And I just envision that. That's going to happen for a lot of students as we embrace the ability for AI to step into those gaps and just free our students up for their lives ahead. So
absolutely
awesome. Yeah,
absolutely. I think there's so many things in our lives that we don't even know are sucking our energy, draining our ability to be good parents, good friends, good, you know, everything, have more time in the word, like just all of these things that like we don't think are consuming our day actually are. And if we just leverage, if we just saw the positive and the door opening potential for this tool, instead of being fearful of it, then we could change so much about our lives in a positive way.
Absolutely. Yes. Well, this was an amazing conversation, Hannah. I'm so glad we spent 2 hours. We could probably talk more, but we're probably getting tired. I know I am. but I definitely want you to check out Hannah's website. And I'm going to include the link in the show description as well. It's deskills.io, and that's spelled D-Skills, S-K-I-L-L-S.io, if you're listening to the podcast. And then just remind us, I know you said on the first half that we did, you talked a little bit about what you do, but could you repeat that again and share, you know, what your organization does and how you help homeschoolers and other students kind of delve into this and get started. So, yeah,
absolutely. So my goal for every student is that they feel empowered, that they have community around them to build these skills, or de-skills as we call them, to succeed in their future. All the challenges and the opportunities we've been talking about are the basis. The conversations like this are the basis for why we built de-skills the way that we did. But our main offering is we have a 10-week bootcamp, a 10-week sprint, where students go, homeschoolers, you know, they're joining other types of students, getting other contacts from other countries, other states, and they are doing what, you know, Rory and Anna, what Priyal, who I mentioned in the last episode, what these students are accomplishing in just 10 weeks. They're going from maybe not even having confidence in themselves, not even knowing what their strengths are, their skills, to in 10 weeks, leaving with three things. One is 50 or more LinkedIn connections. So they're building their professional network that I wish I had back when I was 15, 16, to give me informed context for what careers look like. Number two, they're leaving with an impact project they've been paid for. So where they take their de-skills, they learn new ones like AI, and they find small businesses and actually help them solve a real problem or close an impact gap. And they get paid for it. We coach them on how to use AI to help them price their offerings and then sell ultimately to a client. Yeah. And then the third piece is all of the tools and de-skills they need to continue finding paid impact projects and building the confidence and tenacity to launch into whatever's next.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Something I didn't share on the first episode that I hope will be really encouraging to parents is, you know, I know I dealt with this as a homeschooler, but one of the biggest challenges of being a homeschooler is finding these communities, right? These places of connection.
Right.
And me as a homeschooler, I grew up in Asheville, North Carolina. So in my town, we actually had a really wonderful homeschool community. And I still have, you know, many lifelong friends that have come from that. And I'm so grateful for that. But I know a lot of parents and families homeschool in areas where that's not the case.
That's
or
true.
Mm-hmm. Where even if there is a homeschool community, maybe it feels pretty siloed and your student is sort of stuck in the sort of peer pressure that comes from whatever those other kids are doing with their lives, whether it's really college heavy peer pressure or maybe it's really skilled trade peer pressure, you know, that there's your student may be creative and wants to pursue something with AI or tech or a white collar job, but all their friends are going to work in skilled trades. What we've created at DeSkills in these virtual spaces is groups of students coming from Hawaii, from Kansas, from Belgium, from Canada, from all of these places in one space where they learn from each other and sort of explode that bubble that we can all live in. And they teach each other. We actually have students who are becoming mission commanders of the sprints. So because it's all gamified, you can see in my background, this is like the level base. It's all gamified. So students who achieve they go through the first 10 weeks, they level up to mission commander after level one. They can come back as mentors for other groups of sprinters who are coming in.
That's cool.
They get leadership experience. They get to level their own skills up. They get to continue launching digital projects. So this whole ecosystem is intended to make sure that our homeschooling kids who, you know, maybe like me or were like me when I was 15 or 16, who are excited and they have skills, but maybe they haven't been unlocked yet, but their potential hasn't been unlocked.
Yeah.
They're not just hearing from a teacher who's 20 or 30 years ahead of that student. They're hearing from peers who are right alongside the journey, building in public, going like achieving these audacious goals. And that's why I'm so passionate about what we do because these kids are our future leaders.
Yeah. Yeah, that's amazing. Because there just isn't as many opportunities. And you know, I teach public school kids, so I hear kind of what's going on in the opportunities they get. And there are lots of really good opportunities for homeschoolers, but yet, like you said, it's harder. And so to be able to have access, even if you live remotely, or we lived in a farm community for 5 years, that is so it's a bonus because yes, you're snowed in for a week. It's like we can still communicate. So it's extremely helpful. Well, thank you so much, Hannah. This has just been so inspiring, and I'm super excited with the work that you're doing, the kids that you are mentoring and working with through your program, and like you said, future leaders, just change agents, really, in a world that is changing so quickly and leaps and bounds ahead of where the system says that they can get kids, launched and ready to go. And it's just been, it's played a role in the mental health in our society and so many other things. And I'm so glad that we've been able to have this conversation because there is hope. There is something different. There's a different way to look at this. And you've provided so much fuel for that, that thinking process. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so grateful to meet you and other homeschooling parents who are willing to think differently. That takes courage and it's a journey, but I promise like your kids who take that journey, who follow the rebel path, as we call it, will end up being just some of the most fulfilled, happy adults who are out there. And
absolutely.
That's my heart in all of this.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, awesome. Well, check out Hannah's website, deskills.io. And like I said, in the show notes, you'll have links so you don't have to try to figure out how to spell that. And listen to the first part. If you didn't listen, if you only listened to part two, go back, listen to the first part too. It's very encouraging, lots of practical advice as well. And so you'll want to listen to both hours. Next week, my guest is Leanne Mancini, and we're going to be talking about practice what you preach, modeling biblical truth at home. So you'll definitely want to join us for that episode. But until then, everybody, take care. God bless. And thanks again, Hannah. And we'll see you all next week. Bye, everybody.
I want to take just a second to thank the team at Life Audio for their partnership with us on this podcast. If you go to lifeaudio.com, you'll find dozens of other faith-centered podcasts in their network. They've got shows about prayer, Bible study, parenting, and more.
This has been Empowering Homeschool Conversations with Peggy Ployer.
Life Audio presents Bridges with Monica Schmelter.
That we have an enduring hope that can't be taken away when we are in Christ. And to know that we have that, right? And eternal salvation, because this world can be so busy and so dark that we can forget that,
right?
Because sometimes I get caught in the trappings of what's going on in my life this moment. And while I have to recognize that, that's not it.
Continue listening on lifeaudio.com or wherever you find your podcast.